I want to thank Eddie for leading our singing this morning. We appreciate him so much for the good job that he did, and we welcome everyone here today to the morning worship service of the New Boston Church of Christ. This morning we're going to continue looking at the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 23. And let's read those verses together. Galatians 5 verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is called the fruit of the Spirit because these attitudes have the Spirit as their origins. They are spiritual in nature. What does it mean to be spiritual? There's many people who ask that question today. And the answer is, it means to be guided by the Spirit of God. To let God's Spirit inform your spirit, and so to live by the teaching of the Spirit. We need our desires to originate from within God, and from within our spirit, not from the flesh. And that's the great contrast we have here in Galatians chapter 5 between the fruit of the Spirit and, on the other hand, the works of the flesh. Fleshly desires originate in the flesh. Spiritual desires originate in the spirit. And joy is a spiritual desire. And so we want to talk about that this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy. That's the second one here. And so what it means to be spiritual is to have God's Spirit inform our spirit. And joy is a great spiritual desire. You know, a lot of people in this world think, I believe, that joy and happiness is something that happens to us. It's not something that we produce. But the Bible says that's just the opposite of that. It's not something that happens to us. It's something that we make, that we create. We create joy in our lives by being a joyful people, by letting God lead us and guide us, and by cooperating with His program and having a good attitude about things. Those of you who are parents know from raising children that at some times in their life they get up in the morning and they just have a bad attitude, right? Have you ever had that before happen to you? Well, of course you have. And maybe you yourself have got up in the morning with a bad attitude. I don't know. But sometimes that happens. And what do we tell them when that happens in the morning? We look at them and we say, change that attitude, young man, or change that attitude, young lady, right? Turn it around and get things right in your head. And why do we say that? Because we know it's up to us to make the change. It's up to us to make the difference. Something out there isn't going to happen so as to change our attitude for us. It's up to me to change my attitude. It's up to you to change your attitude. And it is up to us, therefore, to have joy within our life. Joy is something we can control and we can do something about. Joy originates from the Spirit of God. You know, humans want to define joy in so many ways. They can go out there to the rock concerts. They can go out there to all the different entertainment venues and be, you know, really titillated by all the various different excitement that's out there, you know. And you can go to these places and you get caught up in the hype and everything. And you just, woo, I feel so good, you know. That's kind of the way that people look at that, right? And then they go home the next day and then they crash. Bam. They're down. And they're like, why do I feel so bad? Well, the answer is because you let some external thing make you feel the way you felt, and you didn't realize that you're in control of yourself. Not that rock concert, not what's going on in the world around you, but what you think and how you act and how you feel. It's up to you to do those things. In Psalm 5 and verse 11, look at this verse. It says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you, that is in God. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. Look, joy here is something that's under my control. It's something that's under your control. You can be joyful in the Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want God to define joy for us, not the world. God gives joy. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit that we've seen there in Galatians chapter 5. Look at Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Think about the contrast between those things. How many people go after food and drink to bring them satisfaction, to bring them joy? And let me tell you, I like a good hamburger. Don't get me wrong. But that's not where my joy comes from, whether I've got a hamburger or not. I'm still going to be joyful. And we can all have this right attitude toward the Lord because in the Holy Spirit, we have righteousness and peace and joy. And that's what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. To be part of the kingdom of God means to have these good attitudes and to let them fill your life each and every day. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And so there is full joy to be had in the Lord, in talking to Him, in letting our prayers rise unto the Father through the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you ask, you will receive. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sometimes receiving the word means that there's going to be conflict. But nevertheless, there is joy in the Holy Spirit to be had as a result of doing what is right and knowing that what you're doing is right. You see, the world does not have that. The world flails around left and right all the time trying to find out what's right and wrong and never coming to any real conclusion. But the Bible teaches us what is right, what is good, what is true, and what is holy. And you see, when we have that, we have a firm foundation on which we can stand in joy. And so joy originates from God. Jesus knew joy. In John 15 and verse 11, he said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. What is it that Jesus did to give them joy? He spoke things to them. And what things did he speak to them? Things of truth, things of righteousness, things of holiness, things of goodness, of decency. That's what Jesus taught. In John 17, verse 13, he says to the Father in prayer, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus spoke things to us so that we might have joy fulfilled. You see, Jesus' teaching brings joy. Jesus knew that joy, and he taught that joy, and he practiced that joy. And that's why when he was on the cross suffering for the sins of mankind and bleeding out his lifeblood, he could do it. Hebrews 12 and verse 20 says, for the joy that was set before him. I think it's supposed to be verse 2 there instead of verse 20. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so because of joy, he went to the cross. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we can do them with joy, just as Jesus did. Joy comes from truth. Think about what John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. How do we get joy? By reading the things that John has written. By listening to the things that Jesus said. By taking the teaching and guiding of the Spirit and incorporating it into our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy inexpressible. That's what the gospel gives to us. 3 John 1 and verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. To walk in truth brings joy. And we need to understand that joy comes from God. And it's up to us then to take what God has given us and to put it into practice in our lives and to be that joyful person that God knows we can be. And we can do it. We can have a joy-filled life by living according to God's holy word. But then secondly, it says love, but it's supposed to say joy. Joy brings peace. Joy brings peace. I got the wrong slide in there. When we rejoice, think about how joy can bring peace in our lives. Philippians 4 and verse 7 says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. We have peace when we have joy within our life. Think about that for a minute. Think about the time when you were joyful or when you are joyful and that nothing can disturb you, nothing can bother you because you are filled with joy. That brings great peace. It brings great contentment. In Philemon 1 and verse 7, Paul talks about the refreshing that comes from having joy. He says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And we see that when there is joy and love together, they work together to bring refreshment. And when we are refreshed, and I'm talking about spiritually speaking, it's like drinking a great glass of water, you know, a crystal pure glass of water. It's just so refreshing. Joy does that also, and it brings great peace to us as a result. Philemon 1:20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. We can be refreshed by joy, and that's great peace. We have peace when we accept and believe and obey the truth. You see, that's what Paul was encouraging Philemon to do, to accept the practical application of the gospel within his life. And as a result, have peace. Have peace with his brethren. Have peace specifically with Onesimus, whom Paul was sending back to Philemon because they had had a rupture in their relationship. But Paul was helping them to have peace and joy in their life. When we have joy, we are not causing disruption and discontentment. Think about those who don't have joy and how they act. The Proverbs talks about it here. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Think about that for a minute. The evil want to disrupt. They want to divide. They want to discourage. But those who want peace and have joy in their life, they don't do that. Why? Because they love it when people come together in unity. It's a beautiful thing to them. Proverbs 29 verse 6 is, by transgression an evil man is snared. There's problems. There's heartache. There is sorrow. But what does the righteous do? Because of his righteous life, because of the way he's living, what does he have? He sings and rejoices. And yes, when we live the righteous life and when we do holy things and we live according to God's holy will, we can sing and rejoice every day of our life. Joy does not divide. It doesn't cause disruption and discouragement. It brings peace. Proverbs 23, 15 and 16 says, "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things." When we do what's right, when we say what's right, when we apply wisdom to our lives, that brings joy to others because they love righteousness and they love wisdom and they love truth, you see, and that refreshes everyone. And we have peace for eternity because of joy. Joy brings peace because joy loves heaven. And heaven is a place of eternal joy with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Jude 1 verse 24 says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Exceeding joy. And we haven't experienced full joy yet until we experience it in eternity. But we can get as much of it as we can here on the earth by living according to the Lord's holy will. Rejoice, Jesus says, because your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. And when we know that we are living according to the righteous teaching of the Lord, when we are receiving the forgiveness of sins that's associated with the cleansing of his blood, we can rejoice because we know where we're going to spend eternity. And that brings joy to our lives. Joy and peace. Joy brings peace. And then finally, joy endures. You know, happiness is momentary. Happiness is fleeting. It's something that, you know, you get when you have a little bauble to play with for a minute, and it's so cute and interesting, and then after a few minutes, you're done with it. Toss it away, and you never play with it again. But joy is lasting. Joy doesn't depend upon that little bauble, you see. Joy is so much more full and rich in what it has. Think about Isaiah 61 and verse 7. "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs." Everlasting joy is what the Bible is talking about. Not something that's just momentary and fleeting and that doesn't happen all the time. Joy can be there for you always. And that's why the Bible commands, rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Joy is enduring. It keeps us grounded in what is truly real. Now look at this quotation from Habakkuk 3 in verses 17 through 18. There were times of trouble in this period of time for Judah. And Habakkuk says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." There's something greater, you see, than just this life. There's something better that's waiting for us than just the things that we have here on the earth. And if we're depending on our joy from just what we have and possess and own and the things that we surround ourselves with, if that's what we're depending on for joy, we're going to be disappointed. Habakkuk says, "I don't need any of those things to have joy in the Lord because my relationship with God brings me the greatest joy. Joy keeps us grounded in what's real, not in what is passing away. And the world is passing away, folks. It's going away. Joy keeps us grounded. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We should not fear. We should trust in the Lord. Let his joy fill our lives and be content with what we have. Joy keeps us grounded in what is real. Think about what Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 22 about how joy endures through trials. He says, "Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." What is really real? God is really real. The resurrection of Christ is really real. The church, the people are really real. That's the joy that no one can take from us, because those things are lasting. They're eternal and they will not fail. 1 Peter 4 and verse 13 says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." And if we endure the trials of life right now, one day we're going to have joy so great that none of the things that we've endured in this life, however terrible they might be, is going to even be a speck on the horizon of our thought. And why is that? Because God's joy will overshadow all things. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy originates from the Spirit of God. Joy brings peace, and joy endures. Let's have joy in our lives today. Let's let the Spirit lead us and guide us so that we can have that joy and peace and endurance that will bring us to eternity in heaven. Do you need to become a child of God this morning and let Jesus' teaching fill your life so that you may have that great joy? The joy of knowing your sins have been forgiven is a tremendous joy indeed. It takes so much burden off of your spirit and of your soul, and lets your spirit soar so that your joy can be free. Maybe you need that forgiveness this morning to become a child of God. You can do so by hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Let joy fill your life today. Get that forgiveness and live for him. Maybe as a Christian, you've fallen back a little bit and you don't have as much joy in your life as you used to, and you'd like to recover that. Well, this morning we can pray with you and for you if you'd like to do that. Or maybe you'd like to visit with one of our elders or with one of our deacons or with me or someone about some things in your life that you'd like to change so that you can get that joy back in your life. If that's the case, then get in touch with one of us. We'll be happy to talk to you about these matters and help you in your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. So if you have a need this morning that you'd like to come forward and make known, you can do so right now while together we stand and while we sing.